Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is education. Randy Thompson has the rundown.
We'll be talking to the state president for the Teachers Association, Lynn Warning.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Ellie Lopez-Bolin, Sean Gray, and Howard Rosenberg. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans. Generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year. Provided nearly $700 million to help our schools. And built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Lynn Warney. She is the president of the Nevada State Education Association. Pleasure to have you back on the
Thank
program.
Thank you.
You know, during the campaign, both Rory Reid and Brian Sandoval are attacking teachers and education, and it continues into this legislative session. How demoralized are teachers at this point with this just a barrage?
You know, really extremely. It started years ago with a lot of the things that came along with the No Child Left Behind Act, the punitive sanctions that came along with, you know, failing to make AYP and that sort of thing. And if you were deemed, you know, the failure of the school, contributing to the failure of the school, you'd leave. And, you know, then this rolls right into it. It's extremely demoralizing. And then, you know, they see the cuts to education, the proposed cuts to the salaries. I mean, Sandoval, in a letter to the superintendents last week, said that 70% of the education cuts that he's proposed in his budget should be shouldered by the employees. It's extremely demoralizing.
Well, I look at it as when I'm an investment, when I'm a business and I'm looking for investment, I have to show that I'm either good for the investment or I have a good business plan. And right now, people just don't think education's a good investment. We need these reforms to make us a better educational system. And I keep hearing what other folks are saying. What are some of the reforms you'd like to see implemented in education that will make a difference and help bring up child attendance as well as test scores?
You know, I think reform is critical to this state. Nobody's happy with where we're standing with regards to graduation rates, let's say. We were very instrumental in the Blue Ribbon Task Force, and we support all the reforms that Nevada's promised that we're now working through the legislative process. Some of those are going to require some statutory changes. We're working with legislators to make sure that those statutory changes are passed.
But in the biggest, it seems like they're beating up on the teachers' union, not necessarily on teachers. So they're beating up on you. Sorry, Lynn. How do you feel the union should change in order to maybe deflect some of this or to listen to them and say, okay, you're right, we do need to change?
Well, I think what people lose sight of is the fact that the teachers' union are teachers. I'm a fourth grade teacher here in Washoe County, and I've been a teacher here in Washoe County for 25 years. We are the union. We are the teachers. They're one and the same. So when you're beating up on the union, you're beating up on the teachers, and they understand that. When we represent 80% of the education community, whether it's a bus driver, food service, you know, lunch lady, your, you know, maintenance person out on the playground picking up, you know, the place, or the instructor, we're all in this together. It requires a community to raise these kids and educate these kids, and they're all getting hammered. I mean, the ESPs, our support professionals, are the first that feel the crunch. They're the ones that are furthest from the classroom. So when cuts come down the road, they talk about reduction in force, the fact that we're going to have to cut back on personnel. It's usually those folks to go first.
You know, and I have to respectfully disagree with you. I mean, I think that there's a separation, certainly in my mind. You know, Lynn, you're a professional, you're a lobbyist, you're used to negotiating and dealing with the union. The average teacher is a person who's going to school every day, probably taking money out of their pocket to help buy supplies and teach the kids to, in the most part, to the best of their ability. So I do see a difference, don't you, between the two? I mean, you know, you expect to get hammered on. That's part of your job, and you hammer back. You've got 28,000 members, and those people vote.
I'm currently serving as the president of the union, absolutely, but the things that I use to teach fourth grade are piled up in my garage, and I plan on returning to the classroom, so I'm not far from the classroom at all. On top of that, I'm also a parent, and I've got a special ed son who's in high school who, you know, sees the unfortunate results of the budget cuts. You know, three kids on a microscope in biology is not going to be any kind of quality education that we want to see our kids receive.
And give us more examples of that, because I think that that's something that people don't get. Because it's very easy to say, okay, everybody takes a 5% pay cut and think that that's a minimal thing. But what are the problems that the kids are actually dealing with, the teachers in the classroom?
Well, you're going to deal with larger class sizes, for one. Out of the special session this last go-round, they allowed Washoe County, for example, to have classroom flexibility, and so they let those classrooms creep up, they said, by two students. But we all know that kids don't come in, you know, blocks of 15 or blocks of 25 or blocks of 30, and so those classes have gotten quite large. On top of that, our class size reduction law in this state, unfortunately, has never been fully implemented, so the upper grade classes have, you know, become ginormous in size. You know, also in the lower grades, we've seen classes that are now team taught because we don't have enough desks to be able to fill those smaller classrooms, so they've got to go to the larger classrooms. You're going to deal with loss of supplies. We've been putting textbook money on hold and adoption of updated textbooks on hold for years now, and we're probably going to see that continue as well. Sam, you know, we were talking earlier that it is the teacher that dips into their pocket that has to make up that gap in supplies. For example, when, you know, a parent sees the school year begin, they get a big supply list that they're usually going to need to invest, unfortunately, between $50 and $100 in paying to fill that supply list, because those are supplies that the school is not able to provide for that student.
Yeah, Bill Offerman was on the program the other day, and we were talking about the fact that in a reporter's notebook in the Las Vegas Review Journal, somebody had written about the fact that the school didn't have toilet paper. And Bill very glibly said, well, you know, we're the Bankers Association, we'll buy the toilet paper. But there are a lot of things that are going missing in schools.
Absolutely. You know, and we appreciate the partnerships that we have with businesses, for example, that are able to fill that need. But, you know, that's not the way we should fund our schools. That's not the way we should supply our schools, taking donations and handouts. You know, we need to fund education adequately and appropriately in this state. I mean, you get what you pay for. I think, you know, money does matter. We've seen some excellent testimony already provided in the legislature with regards to, you know, test results higher, you know, seen in states where there is a larger investment in schools.
All right, let's take a break. More with Lynn Warnick when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I have urgent news. If you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 Minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed-rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Lynn Warney. She's the president of the Nevada State Education Association.
So for this budget that Governor Sandoval is presenting.
next job.
Yeah, don't take that as an indication of my support. It's not going to happen, my suggestion either. In looking at what is being proposed for education, how much is education slated to get this year?
Oh, gosh, they're looking at some substantial cuts. You know, it's so funny you mentioned, Sam, earlier about the 5% salary cut. When you really drill down into what's being proposed by the governor, it's far more than that. It's closer to 20% because you put in the 5% salary cut as well as the freezing on steps. You've got folks that are halfway through a master's program now being told that, you know, they're not going to see any additional incentive at the end of that. You've got the PERS equalization that he wants to have, you know.
Okay, well, back to my question, though. What is the money that you guys will be getting, that you're expecting to be getting?
We have yet to see the governor's exact budget come forward. We've heard presentations, but we haven't really, you know, been able to drill down. We've seen that his block grants have now taken a step back. They're only going to be implemented maybe in the second year, the 10%, you know, sharing. So until we get the details, I can't really answer that.
Okay, what's it been in the past biennium? What'd you guys get?
No, I don't know what it is exactly.
It's around $1 billion.
Around $1 billion.
Thank you.
Okay. And you're just saying there's no toilet paper in the bathrooms. How is that money being spent? Where is that money going? As a taxpayer, as a business person who wants to see a good system, you and I both graduated from Reno High School, and I felt I had quality education. Where is the money going that you guys can't get toilet paper into the bathrooms?
Excellent question. You know, money is divvied up between the districts based on per pupil enrollment. So however many students are here in Washoe County, that's how much money, you know, will flow into the coffers here in Washoe County. It goes through the budgetary process. You know, I don't know how it gets finally down to the school site, but that is a great concern. It's a concern of ours, and it's a concern of the parents in the state, that the actual classroom where that instruction is delivered is not seeing the necessary resources to provide an adequate education for the youngsters.
But as the labor representative for teachers, if you don't know the answer to that question, how are we going to find out, and how are we going to make sure that money gets into the classrooms?
That's a great question. I don't bargain. I'm not a bargaining agent here in Washoe County, nor any other district in this state. You'd need to talk to the local association here, which is the group that goes to the bargaining table with the Washoe County representatives. They're the ones who do the budget analysis. They're the ones who see where that money goes and how it goes to the classroom or not to the classroom.
Okay.
I think the point is that we all recognize that there is not enough money in education to provide a quality instruction to these youngsters or the supplies that they need, as basic as toilet paper or Kleenex.
Well, I think if we could look at where the money was being spent, we might be able to find how those supplies can better be given to the students.
Well, the state does an audit every year. They do an efficiency audit, looking at ways that the districts might be able to better spend their money. And quite honestly, their recommendations are very small and minor in comparison. I think the districts are doing an outstanding job providing an education with the money that they're given.
You know, when everybody keeps talking about they want a better education, better education, better education, when you have one-on-one conversations with everybody from the governor, the chief of staff, the top legislators, how do they balance that?
Well, I think everybody wants to see our kids succeed. I think everybody wants to provide them a quality education. I think how we get to there is where we start to fall apart and our differences are. You know, we believe, and research shows, that the educator is the greatest single, you know, factor of success in that student's, you know, academic career. And when the state, you know, is now last in chances of success for our students, according to the Quality Counts report that just recently came out, that tells you that we've got a gap between, you know, the instruction in that classroom, you know, and the chance of success. We need to be able to compensate our educators for the professionals that they are, and we also need to provide an optimal learning situation for those youngsters. When you've got too many kids in a classroom, obviously instruction is going to be lacking. My example of, for example, three students with one microscope in a biology class, you're not going to see the kind of quality instruction when those are the kind of odds that you're dealing with.
Okay, but the challenge is, and I'm going to come back to how the union is criticized. The union is criticized so often for protecting bad teachers and not allowing the systems to fire bad teachers so that we can have good educators, so that we can have more productive educators and thus more supplies. How do you counteract the fact that that time after time, the reports I've seen from Clark County that are pages thick of teachers that should be released, but they're on tenure and they're protected?
Well, a couple things. First of all, that's another myth that's out there. There is legislation that we have proposed. There'll be amendments coming this legislative session on how to get rid of bad teachers faster. You know, we have, for example, in Clark County, to use an example, they used to have a process that, you know, took between, I don't know, 16 and 18 months to move ineffective educators out of the classroom, folks that just weren't a good fit for that classroom.
Yeah.
Now, with the language that we've proposed and collectively bargained with the district, that's been cut down to about 3 months. We're going to try and move that language into statute this legislative session so that can apply to all districts.
Good.
You know, the part of it is, though, Randy, that you touch on is, you know, how do you determine that an educator is truly ineffective and shouldn't be in the classroom? That's the real rub. And if you look at some of the provisions in the Nevada's Prom as part of the Race to the Top application that we put forward, there is an opportunity for us to devise a statewide evaluation instrument that would help determine whether someone was effective, highly effective, minimally effective, or ineffective.
Okay.
If someone's ineffective, then there's a procedure to move those folks out. It's currently in statute. It's worked well for years. Part of the problem is that process isn't being used adequately or at all in some of the districts, and that's part of the problem, too.
Well, I know you also have teacher-principal conflict or parent-teacher conflict or a student-teacher conflict. You have so many players in this that a parent might not like the what's going on, but the teacher is, you know, teaching the kid right. And I mean I see where there's a lot of challenges in that system.
Yes.
But it's just, maybe it is a myth, but it seems like there's something that needs to be done, and sounds like you guys are trying to address it, and I appreciate that. I really do.
One last quick question here on the subject of vouchers. Conservatives want to see school vouchers to give choices to parents. Your thoughts on this in about 30 seconds.
You know, vouchers, unfortunately, I think will be challenged legally. I think there's some constitutional issues with regards to it as well. You know, vouchers, unfortunately, are again kind of one of those urban myths that you can take this money and you could go to any school that you would like. The tuition that most of those private schools charge is way beyond what that voucher is. So, you know, to do that, it just doesn't make any kind of sense. You're going to drain necessary resources away from the public schools in this state.
And that's where we have to leave it. I'm sure we'll be seeing you before the end of the session. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
You've heard about those cushy retirement benefits enjoyed by public employees. Well, now the Clark County Commission wants to know how much it's costing taxpayers. We'll tell you about that and bring you up to date on the 2011 legislature next, Face to Face.
Do you live in the Carson City area? I'm Angela Bolentini.
And I'm Charlie Kilpatrick. Since 1975, our office has represented injured people just like you.
We're here to help at 882-6112. Please call for a free case evaluation.
Do you and your family need cash right now? Bills keep piling up. Calls from bill collectors never stop. Because you can't wait till payday, it's time to go to CashInTime.com. With over 50 trusted financial lenders who are waiting to help you get the cash you need now, it's fast and easy. As long as you're 18 or older with a regular monthly income of at least $800, go to CashInTime.com and you can have as much as $1,000 directly deposited to your checking account in no time.
Are you ready for this?
Check this out.
Now, there's a movie channel that has the movies you love and so much more.
It's really good.
This TV.
Come to daddy.
Big stars.
Snap out of it.
Big movies.
Tradition.
Big entertainment. On one channel. This TV. To find where This TV is in your area and what great movies are playing, log on to thistv.com.
Thank you.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. We have Ellie Lopez-Bolin, community activist, Sean Gray, executive director of the Washoe County Democratic Party, and Howard Rosenberg, professor of art at the University of Nevada and former regent. Your thoughts on Lynn Morney's conversation?
Do you really want to start that way?
Down boy.
Look, all we need for good education is a good teacher, good books that are up to date, and a place to sit down with the little monsters and teach them. That's all we need. It doesn't have to cost $5 zillion. I don't know where the money's going either, Sam. I really don't. I do know that we are over-administrated. We don't have people that are evaluating our teachers who know what they're doing, which should be other teachers. And we don't have to rely on test scores. The test scores will follow. What we need is people to help teachers begin to get more involved with what's happening in today's world with their kids. I mean, you had a lady here, she's a nice lady, I'm sure, but she was talking about she has all of her materials up on a shelf in her garage, and she's left them there for 3 years, and then she's got three more years. Then she's going to take those off the shelf and go back into a fourth grade classroom. What kind of sense does that make? In 6 years, the world has moved on. And you've got to be able to get this across to our teachers today. Teachers don't go into it to make $1 million. They go into it for a living wage. I mean, I've been a teacher for 50-odd years of my life. This business of too many kids in a classroom, it's a nightmare wherever you go. But there are some classes that can be taught very effectively on a large scale, others which need to be smaller. Maybe this team teaching approach that I was in, God, back in 1962, might work today, where you have groups of teachers taking a group of youngsters, large groups, and then reading problems, math problems, you put into small groups, and you tutor them. Paired learning, you take a sixth grader who's having trouble with reading, you bring him down to the third grade to help the little ones, and he learns it over again, and the kid that's in the third grade's getting it for the first time, and they're helping one another. There's so many different ways of doing this. It doesn't have to cost $1 billion. The bottom line is, we ain't got any money.
Well, Howard, you do have some very good points, and I really appreciated Randy's questions, because we want to know, where is the money going? We keep increasing what we spend in education every year, keep throwing money at a system that has not worked in Nevada. When only 47% of our high school students go on to graduate, that's pathetic, and we're always at the bottom of the list with our education compared to the nation. So we definitely need to know where the money is going. We need to cut administration, and the money needs to reach the children.
Sean?
I was excited to learn that there were reforms going through the legislature. Hopefully they get passed, and really it needs the public support behind them, like the ways to get the teacher out if they're ineffective in a faster manner. And I agree with what these two are saying. You know, the fourth grader 6 years ago isn't the same fourth grader today. No. And you can't have reform in a quality education if you're teaching washed up, reran material from 6 years ago.
There's one of the things that I think we all need to recognize is the system is what the system is. Change is going to take some time. Begin fastening on what you can get hold of right now. Elementary school. K1, 2, and 3 are vital. If they're taught properly and if they get it, and it's hard. The teacher can't be responsible for everything. Kids got to do some work too. Parents have to help. Yeah. The respect factor has to be there because the teacher's doing the best he or she can. But if they learn well there, it's almost impossible to destroy them further on up the line. Well, they'll be able to function.
Unfortunately, though, and you touched on this earlier, we teach our students to bubble in an answer sheet, and that's how we grade whether or not they're effective and that they've learned the lessons. And that's incredibly damaging, because I have never used a bubble sheet after I graduated high school.
I think we need to look at us. I watched, I love Grey's Anatomy, and they were actually tweeting from an operation,
right,
about what was going on, and they were getting back some feedback instantaneous. Now, I don't tweet,
yes,
but I'm thinking, God, a teacher classroom and could say, okay, I want you all to go ahead and tweet this. And, I mean, realize that that is, unfortunately, social media is our future.
That's
and by the way,
grade of
Keith
today.
Morrison, move over. You got to take that job. Although I disagree, there is money. It's just we've got to spend
it's
better.
Look, in higher education, we've got the same problems. Right. We have a tremendous amount of money, and we're always asking for more. And I'm afraid the public thinks that we're some black hole, that the money is poured into and nothing ever comes out. It's not the case. There's so much that we need to do that has to be done on things other than what the money will pay for. So much of what the higher education budget is just maintaining equipment,
but
not even buying the new stuff.
I don't want to pay for sabbaticals for professors to go off for a year.
But wait a minute. But Ellie, that sabbatical for a year is apt to bring that teacher back with new information and new discoveries.
Do it on your own time. Don't do it on our tax dollars.
But it doesn't cost us. That's the crazy part of it. It doesn't cost us.
You are paid for the year.
Yes, but you're also paid to learn. If you don't keep learning,
do it on your own time like the rest of us. Anyone in private industry.
We do it on our own time as well.
I do continuing education every year as a nurse practitioner, and I do it on my own time.
Ellie, but
you're not paying
for
it.
You're not a nurse practitioner.
Sean gets the last word.
Oh, this is sort of neat. I like this. You shut up.
Sean.
When you work for a private business and there's new market research that has to be learned, you get paid to go to a convention and learn it and come back and put it in your market.
Not necessarily. But it's built into education.
All right, that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all. We'll be right back on about Newsmakers after this timeout.
What is the matter?
After the age of 40, most women get into the mirror and they do a little temporary fix. When you have the quick lift done, it's not a temporary in the mirror thing. It's lasting.
Look completely refreshed and years younger in one easy step.
I feel amazing. I never thought a quick procedure could be that easy and have such a great result.
Be one of the thousands of women just like Janet who are enjoying the lasting beauty of the quick lift. Call 1-800-321-LIFT today.
When accidents happen, where can you turn? Galloway & Jensen, one of Reno's finest personal injury law firms. Bob and Graham have over 50 years' experience defending folks just like you. They know how insurance companies defend claims. They know how they'll evaluate your injury, and they know when to take them to court.
Why go it alone against the insurance companies?
Call us today. We'll fight for you.
Call Galloway & Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
Why is Check City the place to sell your gold or silver for cash? Allow me to demonstrate with a simple experiment.
For your dollar, would you like one scoop or three scoops?
Three scoops, of course.
Proving once again, people prefer three times more for their money. Check City buys gold and pays three times more than cashforgold.com.
Check City. Take advantage of all-time high gold values today.
Are you under 30 and looking for a way to lower your insurance payments? Do you hate waiting for your birthday each year for your insurance premium to drop? At Auto Insurance America, if you're under 30, your monthly premium may drop every month as you get another month older. It's like having a birthday every month. If you're under 30, call a number below, click autoinsuranceamerica.com, or stop by a local office to see how much you can save every month.
Auto Insurance America, it's insurance for the rest of us.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Also, check out the blogs, including Randy Thompson's.
There you go. Tomorrow, join us for former Senator Warren Hardy.
We'll see you on the next Friday.